that I want to preach the message from. It says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Heavenly Father, thank you for our fellowship time and our Sunday school hour, our just time to sing, Lord, and now for the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that we can get our minds and our hearts open, our minds focused on you and your word, what your word is speaking to us today. And Lord, we have to commit the whole service into your care. We're not going to accomplish much as men, humans, Lord, but we trust in you, Lord, to use your word to speak to our hearts today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the title of the message is The Perfection of God. And, you know, Paul mentioned we were breaking down on Wednesday night how to study the Bible. Man, we learned a lot about this, like looking at things, breaking them down a little bit farther. But it says, the very first thing it says in Hebrews 2:10, "For it became him." It became him, speaking about God, or, you know, it became him, Christ. There it's really God is speaking in that sense, God the Father. And it says it became him. And then it says, "For whom are all things, and by whom are all things." And it means that it's talking about the cause. God is the cause of the completeness of all things. It became him. In other words, it means it was fitting. It was the right thing. And it went on to say, in bringing many sons into glory, his glory, of course. And so, and then it says, it became him, and it was fitting to make the captain of their, or our, salvation, if we're saved, perfect or complete through the suffering. And so it was that Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, was made complete through suffering. It became him. He did the right thing. Now, in the word perfection in the Bible can mean perfection in the moral sense, and it can mean completeness, something that's becoming complete as we become perfect. Now, we know that God is perfect in the moral sense, and also he's complete. So the word for him actually works both ways. He's complete and he's perfect. And sometimes what God does, though always perfect in the sense of right, it's always perfect in that sense, it's not complete. It will be complete, but it's not totally complete. I'll show you what I mean as we kind of go along through the message in just a little bit, and that'll help us along the way, I hope, as well. So number one thing, we see that God is perfect. He's perfect in goodness. You know, everything that God does is good. Now, it doesn't always look like it's good, but everything that God does is good. And you know, we don't always understand it. And I kind of thank God that we don't understand everything that God does. You know, and I can't explain a lot of things that God does. But it's a good thing. Listen, if we could understand God, if we could understand infinite God with a finite mind, well, it's an impossibility. But so I guess we'd say it this way. If we could understand God with our finite mind, then God would be finite and not infinite, and that wouldn't be a good thing, right? If we could figure it all out, that wouldn't be what we would call good. It wouldn't be much. He's got knowledge that we don't have. He knows how when we don't know how, and he has power that we don't have. And so those are good things. He's perfect in this goodness. And we know this, that God does, this tells us in the Bible too, that God does all things well. I mean, we've got to know that. I think you need to have that settled in your mind. There's people out here that struggle and ask questions, and people that don't know God, and sometimes people that do. They go, you know, well, I don't understand why God. And we could say that. I mean, we could say, listen, I don't understand. As I said, if we did understand everything, God either wouldn't be much, or we'd be super, super, super intelligent. But we have to know this. When we wake up each morning, we need to wake up and say, you know what, God does all things well. That way, no matter what happens in your life, no matter how things come out, that ultimately things are going to be all right. It doesn't matter what the circumstances in our life. You know, God does all things well. We might not understand. Well, this storm came in and all that rain and the flood, it's just something topical, you know, that's going on now in the world. We look at that. Boy, I saw a picture. Kyle, my son, was down there, had pictures. One church, you know, it went through there and knocked the whole side out of the church, you know. How come God didn't just put his protective hand around that? I don't know. I don't know why. There's people lost their lives. People died, and a lot of things are tore up. I can't tell you exactly why, but I do know that God does all things well. And he didn't just, you know, like a bowling ball, he didn't start creation and sling it down the alley and just see what happens. I mean, he's guiding everything that goes on in the world today, and I don't know why those things happen. And the lost people in the world would say, well, you look, why do good people die? Why do babies die? Why is there evil in the world? We talked in Sunday school hour about if sin, what happened if sin hadn't entered? Well, I'll tell you one thing would have happened if sin hadn't entered in the world. We would not understand the love of God. We couldn't. God had to show us that he loved us, and he had to have a way to do it. God didn't just enter. Sin just didn't come in, caught God off guard, and he goes, oh, wow, I got to fix this problem. I mean, sin entered in the world, and God planned it that way so that we could understand love, because you can't understand love if you don't have hate, and you wouldn't have hate if sin never entered into the world. You know what? You don't understand darkness unless you have light. And light had to come into the world, and we had to see that. So God had this in the plan. Now, I'm not saying I got it all figured out. I just know that's why it is. We've got it. You know, we wouldn't look for God, seek God. If sin hadn't entered in the world, we wouldn't seek God the same way. We wouldn't even know God the same way. We wouldn't know it. So he does all things well. I understand that. And, you know, Abraham said this. Now, think about it. You know, the who, what, when, and where. Abraham said this: shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's a rhetorical question. He wasn't asking a question. He was making a statement. It really shouldn't have a question mark behind it. It ought to just have a period. He made a statement. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Well, you know, he knew, yeah, he's going to do right. But let me ask you this. How did he know it? Remember the who, what, when, and where? Well, when did Abraham say that? Abraham, man, listen, when Abraham said that, how did he know that God would, the judge of all the earth, would do right? He didn't have one bit of scripture of any kind. He didn't have a Bible. He never heard or sung a hymn. He never heard a sermon his entire life. He never went to a prayer meeting. He never had been to a Bible conference. He wasn't even around other believers. Somebody else that knew something about God. He wasn't around any other believers. But last week, and I spoke about how God speaks, and he spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham listened to what he had. And listen, I'm going to tell you what, he had a belief that God does all things well, that God is perfect in his goodness. It was the foundation of his life. It was a pillar of his life. I'm going to tell you something. When he was going up Mount Moriah with Isaac to offer him on to sacrifice him unto God as God told him to do, he didn't understand a thing about it. He didn't understand why God would ask him to do such a thing. But I mean, when he got everything together and got the donkey loaded up with wood and got Isaac and had a knife and a fire and he went up the mountain, he had to believe this one thing, that God does all things well. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But he told them guys when he left them, he walked away. He said, listen, we will return unto thee. Me and my son, we will return unto thee. He understood that thing. So he had to know that. And so like when we're going through life, listen, we're going along through life and we can't see. Man, that's a famous saying of ours. I just can't see how it's going to turn out. Well, true, but God does. God can see how it's going to turn out. He knows. And so we can look and say what we have to believe this, that God is perfect in his goodness and God is good. Listen, God is always good. And he is perfect in his goodness. And so, like I said, Abraham knew that the judge of all the earth, that he was going to do the right thing. I think part of the world's problem, and maybe even this, and even people maybe that have trusted Christ or trying to, or you know, want to trust Christ, we've got misconceptions about God. That's why the world says things. Well, listen, if God is good, why evil, why death, why, you know, this and that, why do babies die, all the things that go along, you know, with that. They say, if God is good. Well, that's a question mark. Is God good? See, you got to know God's good. We should know that God is good. Can I explain everything? No, I can't. I can't explain everything, but I just know God is good. He's perfect in his goodness, right? He's complete. And so when we have low opinions of God, because they don't know. They don't know any better. The world doesn't know. You know, the Bible says that God made man in his image. The problem with man is we're trying to make God in our image. You know, we're trying to edit. We want to edit God. We want to filter out the things that we don't like or we think that's not right. And then we want to, you know, make God a certain way. And listen, that's not our business. Our business is to surrender to him, to fully trust. Fully trust. You know, I mean, you know, like a child. The Bible uses the illustration like a child. When I was a kid, man, listen, I'm telling you what, I fully trusted my parents to do the right thing. I knew that they were going to feed me, they were going to clothe me, they were going to protect me. I didn't have no doubt about it. You know, I mean, whatever, you know, whatever. I didn't worry about danger when I was a kid in the house because I knew that I trusted him. We got to trust God the same way. It's just our business to surrender to him. And listen, with God, there is no mistake possible. It is impossible. He is perfectly just. He's perfectly strong. There's no failure possible on God's fault. We get that settled in our mind. Settled in our mind. You wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning, and say, you know, God is good. You know, God is completely good. His goodness is perfect. You know, we can trust God. And so, God has a perfect plan for the whole world, and I believe that God has a perfect plan for us, our lives, but he doesn't operate against our will, but I think he does have a perfect plan for it. And there's no malice in what God does for you and I. There's no malice in that. So he's perfect in his goodness. He's also perfect in his salvation. Look what it says in our text in Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom all things, who are all things, and by whom are all things, that's parenthetical, by the way, in bringing many sons unto glory. Bringing many sons unto glory. Now, you know, when Christ, the work that he did on the cross, it's at least twofold, if not more than that. But one was bringing sinners unto salvation. That's what he wanted to do. The death, burial, resurrection of Christ makes salvation possible. The Great Commission is given to us, his people, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel and then teach him all, you know, things about Christ, and, you know, and baptize them is the same, and the same thing. And but listen, God did not give us an impossible task. He didn't say, look, here's an impossibility. Go out into all the world and tell people about me, and that's like some impossible thing. I mean, God told us to go out and do it. It's a possible task, right? And you know, it's something that, you know, he would empower us to do, and he tells us that he would. And so, listen, when you trusted Christ, you were saved by a perfect salvation. You were saved by a perfect salvation. You know what? But when you were saved, you didn't get a diploma when you got saved. You didn't get a diploma, but you were born again. I mean, you were born again. We got the Holy Spirit of God. We got the Holy Spirit of God, which is perfect as well. God the Spirit. And we became a son or a daughter, however it fits for you. And your salvation was perfect. And we talked about this, son, Paul and I, Sunday school. But you and I were not perfect or complete in this sense. We weren't complete. We're not a completed or finished son or daughter. Listen, we got young kids, we got some of them, I guess, went to junior church. When a baby's born, it may be born a male or female. Those are the two choices, by the way. They're born male or female. God didn't mess that up either. But they're not perfect or complete men and women. They're not going to be a complete man or woman. There's a process that's going on there, not the finished product. It was just the beginning. And so here it says that he was going to bring many to glory. You know, we're not perfected in that sense or completed in bringing us to glory. It's, you know, and part of this goes, that sanctification process we talked about. The misconception about salvation, and I think even among people in churches a lot of times is that we have got to the destination. We've got to where God's going to get us. No, we're not at the destination. We're just getting on for the ride. How many of you, when you was a kid, when and especially when you were a kid, you're getting ready to go on vacation somewhere, right? Here's salvation. Let me picture it like this. You get ready to go on vacation. The big day comes. All the luggage is packed. You throw it in the car, and everybody ran and got out in the car, right? Now, all right, let's look at that as salvation. But we haven't got to the destination, right? But how many people are just sitting in the car in the driveway and the car's not going anywhere? Huh? That's how they're treating their salvation, like it's perfect in its completeness when they get saved and, woo, man, I'm not going to hell and I'm going to heaven. But they just got in a car, man. This is just the beginning of the journey. This is the beginning of the trip. We don't want to sit in the driveway all the time. We're in the back seat 10 minutes after we left, bouncing up and down going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? driving up. We're there. No, we're not there yet. That fellow that died that I was just telling you about, his parents would, we all lived in a neighborhood down Virginia Beach where I grew up. And his parents had a cottage, which he ended up living at, down near Nag's Head over on the Sound side. And his parents would take me down there. And we were young, first time we went, you know, man, I'm back there. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, yeah, around the next curve. That went on for an hour or whatever it took to get there. We were too excited about it. But see, we're getting in. We're just starting on the trip. We're just getting there. So when there's life, there's growth. If there's not growth, something's wrong, right? You plant something in the ground. If it comes up a little bit and never goes, like a tomato plant's a real popular around here in the spring, you plant that thing, if it doesn't grow and never produces tomatoes, something wrong with it, right? You know, you got to, you know, that's it. This is what it is. And so we think, God is perfect in our salvation, but we're not complete in our salvation as we move towards what God would have us to become. So regeneration is the beginning of life. Now, what does God do in the sanctification process? Well, God is perfect, and what He does is perfect. Let me tell you what the number one thing is. He gave us His Holy Spirit, right? Was that a Holy Spirit, a perfect Holy Spirit? It's God the Spirit. That's perfect. That's perfection, man. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the blood of Christ. We've got the Word of God. We've got faith. We've got prayer. We've got discipline, and we've got... And now we don't like discipline, but it would still be perfect. And we have tribulation. And sometimes tribulation is not necessarily discipline. Sometimes I think people look at it that way, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, a lot of people see we're on the wrong diet, physically and spiritually, right? Like, what's the diet? I know what you're thinking. We're on the wrong diet. We got a fasting from the Word of God and prayer, and eating everything else in sight, physically. You know, we fasten from prayer and from the Word. Man, listen. And so, we've got to come to completeness, perfection, completeness in that sense in our salvation. And then we see the third thing, perfect in glory. Perfect in glory. This is what he said. See, there's a... Let me read it this way. We got a parenthetical statement in the text. For it became him, comma, and then it says, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. So that's parenthetical in bringing many sons unto glory. But to read it like this, for it became him to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You can read that and not do it any harm. It became him to make the captain of our salvation perfect, complete. That is complete. He is perfect in the one sense, but complete through suffering. So he wasn't complete. And so God gave us the captain of our salvation. The captain of our salvation is Jesus Christ. We understand who that is. And, you know, he's perfect in this sense. But it said now he was going to be made complete or made perfect. That word there is not moral perfection, but completeness through suffering. See, think about Jesus. You know, we say, well, Christmas will be coming up and we'll be talking about the Savior, the birth of the Savior. But he wasn't a complete Savior when he was a baby. I mean, it was going to be complete. There wasn't no doubt about it. I mean, it was all going to take place, but he wasn't really the Savior yet. He was going to be, but he wasn't completed until when? Till he went to the cross. He had to get to the cross, right? He wasn't complete as a man, just like we weren't as a baby. He had to grow up. He had to grow up in that be completed, perfected in that sense. So what completed him? It says in our text, perfect through sufferings. That's what completed him. Think about that. The garden, man, the scourge, the cross. He had to go through all those things to be the Savior. You know, everything had to, it was the trials that brought him to that perfection. Well, guess what? We think it, and this is in the goodness of God. What's going to bring us to completeness as Christians? Trial, the same thing, right? We got to go through. Christ went through it all as a man because we were going to have to go through it all as a man. We were going to have to do it as well. We're not going to be complete without that. Jesus was always perfect morally. He was pure, blameless, undefiled, separated, all those things. But he had to undergo the trials. He had to go through the tests. He had to go through the storms. And part of the reason that he had to go through them is to show us how to go through them ourselves, that we could go through the trials and the storms and all those things. He had to do it. I said to you before, a few weeks ago, he never used his deity as a man. He never used his deity. And I know you think, well, he did miracles. No, he said, of my own self, I can do nothing. God the Father did it through him. How are we to live? God the Son doing it through us. He's through us, see? So he didn't. So he showed us, this is how you live as a man. Jesus did it. He lived as a man. How did he resist the devil? Same way you and I. It is written. It is written. It is written. That's how he resisted Satan. No other way. He didn't put up some supernatural barrier that Satan couldn't come through. If he would have done that, he could have kept Satan from tempting him in the first place. Right? He could have just said, listen, get away from me. He's not going to be there. No, man, he let him tempt him. Man, make these breads, turn these bread stones into bread. Up on the temple. He could have cast down. He could have done all that. He just said, it is written, written, written. Why? Because we couldn't do all those other things. We had to do it the same way. It is written. We got the Word of God. That's what he did. He had to go through those things. He had to do that. He had to be complete as a man. Because we can be complete as a man. We have to do the same thing. He had to suffer. Listen, he had to be hated. He had to thirst. He had to become tired. That's why he says that he can relate to us in so many words. He relates to what we go through in life. He relates to it. You know, he knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like to suffer pain, physical pain, and spiritual pain because he took the sins of the whole world upon him. He knew what that was like. I mean, he knows what darkness is. He knows what spiritual darkness is because it became dark. It was a darkness there. That was even worse than everything he went through on the cross, was the separation from God the Father. He knew that. This is what he knew. By what he did. He had to do that. And like us, listen, there's some things that we'll never know until we've suffered. You'll never know. I remember when my mom passed away before my dad. I'd been pastoring for some time. And Ray Sloan, funeral home down there, his parents were still living too. And Ray, I got to talking to Ray. Of course, Ray's dad was a pastor for years. And Irvin Sloan, I knew him. But Ray said, you know what? He said, you're going to be a better pastor when my mom died. He said, you'll be a better pastor now. He said, because you're going to know. You're going to know what people are feeling on the inside, you know, and that'll help you. He said, I'll be a better undertaker. My parents are still alive. He said, when they pass, I'll be a better undertaker than I am now. I'll know more about what the family's going through. Then, of course, Dad passed away, and now you know. So now when somebody's parent passes in church, you know, I mean, I know what they, I can say, hey, I know. I know what you feel like. I know what you're going through. I can help you. I can help you along, and this is what helped me, and we do that. So, but Jesus had to suffer and do all those things, and we have to suffer and all that as well. And listen, there's some imperfections in us that you'll never lose till you suffer. You'll never lose those imperfections. You're going to have to suffer a certain way to get rid of those things. Man, listen, pride and even love sometimes. I think, you know, you got to feel like what it feels like to be unloved to learn how to love somebody. You know, it's got to go that way. It just does. And you know, all the things that you think about in disappointment. I think you have to go through disappointment. You got imperfections. You know, some of the imperfections are in our heart. And then even some in physical things. Man, I remember I used to see old Pat Bogus. She had arthritis so bad, her fingers was knotted up in knots. And, you know, and you just think, man, and you're trying to think arthritis, well, how hard can it be? I'm going to tell you something. I got a little arthritis in my neck. That's why I look like Ed Sullivan sometimes. Can't get my neck turned too far around. I realize why older people wreck their cars all the time. It's too hard to turn your neck to look to see if anybody's coming. You just shoot out there and hope for the best. That's what you do. But, man, I got a little bit in my hand, in this one finger, my trigger finger of all things. And that thing, I'm telling you what, and it stays a little swollen right between my knuckles. How in the world, one finger, that thing can wake me up, and if I get sleeping with it balled up under the pillow a certain way, and man, I wake up and that thing is aching like a toothache. And I imagine all your fingers like that. You know, now I can relate when somebody says, hey, I got arthritis. And I can relate with you on that. It's a painful thing, man. I take my finger sometimes to push it, and it hurts like the dickens to do what I'm doing. But they say it's good for it. And I'll push that thing down like that against, it feels a little bit better, you know. But it's painful, man. You got to know that. So some of the things, our imperfections are in our body. They're in our body. And so, listen, Christianity, I'm going to tell you something about what we go through as Christians. We think we're going to get saved, boy. And boy, it's going to be the vacation, man. And everything's going, now I'm saved. Woo, man, that's it. No, it's not it. It's just the start. And you got to be perfected, to come to completeness of what God has for us, and to bring what Jesus was bringing many to glory. Well, how's he going to bring many to glory? He's not down here on earth. Huh? Jesus brings many to glory because he lives in you and I if you're saved, and he's going to do it through us. He's going to bring many to glory, and that's and how are you going to do it? Well, man, I'm telling you what, you're going to have to come to perfection and completeness. You're going to have to come to that. Listen, Christianity is not a playground. It's not a picnic. It's a battleground. Man, this is war, man. A lot of people think, oh, the Christian, it's an old puffy life. It's an easy life. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a battleground, man. It is something else. And so God made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. That's how he was made. He brought to completeness. And we can explain. So now you can say, well, listen, when I go through suffering, you know, when we go back to God is perfect in his goodness, right? When I go through suffering, what's he doing? He's perfecting you, which is good. See, that's why it's good. He's perfecting you now. What you go through now is a good thing, the captain of our salvation. And he wants to bring us to glory. Man, listen, that's it. Boy, that is growth. You know, the question I want to ask you, I'm almost done. I give you this, not a real long message this morning, but think about this. You know, you always look and see. When we back to those planting plants in the spring, I guess this would be a better springtime message than fall. But we go out and look and see it, how they're doing, right? Larry, you guys, garden folks, get to garden. You go out there and look and you want to see. Well, look at yourself. Examine yourself. What growth is there? Do you have growth? If you don't have growth, what's that mean? Something's wrong, right? So what do we do with a plant? What do we do with a plant? Huh? You go out there and you dig around the dirt. My great-grandmother, she was a gardener. I used to go out there, you know, and you'd had a hoe back in the days, man, and you'd go around there in the old ground. If you had rain a lot, it would pack it down. It'd get real hard. And what'd you have to do? Go out there around that thing and break up the old hard ground. And so you do that, and then you might put fertilizer on something. Just did that with the grass. It looks better already. It's fertilizer and all the stuff you do. All right, in your life, what if there's no growth? What do you do? Hey, well, you know what? Get some fertilizer right here. You got to get the word. Prayer life, man. Get your prayer life squared away, man. Spend some serious time with God. Praying, man. Listen, prayer is overlooked so much by so many Christian people, and it's the power, boy, it releases the power that God has for us. Man, we get in prayer, get in church, get in the Word, get in preaching. I mean, man, just, take care of it. Man, listen, if you're saved and you've got the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to bring you to glory. Look at life that God is bringing you through life to completeness that we can bring other men to glory. So, and ask yourself, you know, where's God leading? Man, listen, he's perfect in his goodness. He's perfect in his salvation. And he's perfect in his glory. Amen? Amen. And so just keep that thought when you wake up in the morning. God is perfect, man. God is perfect in his goodness. And God does all things well. That's another great thing to think. I remember David Gibbs preaching a message on it. God doeth all things well. And you just remember that every single day when you wake up, no matter what happens in life, you can accept what's coming your way. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed, and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your perfection, and thank you for perfecting us, Lord, through the things that we go through, completing us, Lord. We're thankful for that. And, Lord, I just ask you to speak to each heart that's here. Help us all, Lord, to look in the mirror a little bit. Lord, look at our life and see where are we growing as far as spiritual things are concerned. How's that going in our life? Where are we? Are we stagnant? Are we still sitting in the driveway thinking that we're on the trip, but we're not? We haven't started. We're just the beginning of it all. Where are we at in our life, Lord? And I pray we can be honest with ourselves about that. And we just ask you to have your will and way now in our invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hymn number 270, Just As I Am.
Just as I am with